score. She's down to her final shot here. Can you believe it? The American Ninja Warrior podcast starts now.
Welcome back to the American Ninja Warrior podcast. I'm your host for the season, Nikki Lee, editor of ANWNation.com. Today we're discussing the Baltimore qualifiers, an episode that surprised a lot of fans with its zero megawall completions. One competitor who missed out on a buzzer because he was stuck at the megawall was Naji Richardson. Naji is a fan favorite and a three-time national finalist. He had a heartbreaking end to season 10 when he timed out while attempting to finish the water walls on stage 2. Today, Naji gives us a candid look at how that felt and what it was like to return to American Ninja Warrior this season. Naji, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
How's your day going?
Very, very well. It's cool. I'm just chilling and kind of getting my head together and trying my best to just be in the zone and, you know, stay focused. So I'm good.
So we saw you at the Baltimore qualifiers.
Yes.
That was the start of how many seasons for you?
Oh, man. This is my fifth season of American Ninja Warrior, my fifth qualifiers.
Okay. How'd the course feel in Baltimore?
Honestly, the course felt great. The only thing that really worried me about the Baltimore course was the balance obstacle. Mm. I don't like balance obstacles regardless, but that one really got to me. I was very, very nervous for it, and I think people, you know, saw that I took a lot of time in between that obstacle. I just didn't want to make a mistake, you know. No one ever wants to go down on something that isn't so much about strength, it's more just technicality. I think that's the hardest thing to kind of wrap your mind around if you were to go out on something like that. So I wanted to make sure I was going to be all right.
Yeah. So you had a great run. You made it all the way to the megawall. You made the decision to go with the megawall.
Absolutely.
As we know, there's a new rule this year that once you commit,
you gotta stay there.
You're committed.
Yep.
So can you walk us through what happened with three attempts there?
You know, for me, and I still haven't seen the episode yet. I still haven't seen exactly what I did, but I just remember watching Chris Wilczewski and Joe Morawski go, and both of them missed the wall. Now, people who follow me on social media, they will know that I train specifically with Chris Wilczewski. He's one of my mentors and one of my best friends. And recently I've been training with Joe Morawski every now and then. And we've been training the warp wall religiously. We have been hitting it, you know, over and over and over again. At one point, we were doing burnouts on the warp wall, the 18-foot warp wall.
What's a burnout on a warp wall?
So a burnout on a warp wall is when you run up, you grab the top, you come back down, and you immediately do it again. And if you rest for no more than 10 seconds.
That sounds fun.
It's grueling. It's really grueling. But we were doing that. And, you know, at one point, I had gotten to, you know, five or six in a row. Same thing with Joe and Chris, and we were feeling very, very confident on it. So watching them miss the wall, I knew that there was something going on. I knew it had nothing to do with their abilities. I got through the 18-foot warp wall with cramps in my legs in Philadelphia last season. So I knew it wasn't a factor of ability, but more so, you know, maybe the elements, maybe the wall wasn't wiped down. So I knew I was taking a risk. I knew I was taking a risk when I got there. But at that point, I knew I had moved on to city finals, and I knew I had no chance also at the tower. So I wasn't going to be comfortable, and I would not have been happy with myself had I hit a buzzer just to hit one. I wanted to challenge myself. So honestly, for me, and I think you'll see it in my face and my expression, after I did my first attempt on the 18-foot warp wall, I knew I wasn't going to make it after that. It was so slippery. And I just don't think it was wiped down. And for me personally, I just felt after my third or fourth step, I usually take about five or six steps on the wall, on the 18-foot warp wall anyway. And after my third step, there was no traction. There was nothing. And for the fans who, they don't realize this, but there was a volleyball court on our right and then, you know, the water on our left. And, you know, wind picks up. And I think after a while, just condensation and, you know, everything will kind of be in the air and they'll, you know, it'll layer the course. It'll be kind of like for those athletes who train in American Ninja Warrior and for those, you know, those kids and everyone who knows about chalk kind of floating in the air in the gyms and getting on the walls, it makes the walls, you know, 10 times harder than they should be. And I think that was kind of the case with the 18-foot in our region. It just, the elements just kind of got the best of us, and it was just it was more impossible to get up that wall than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, do you regret the decision to go for the mega wall?
I don't regret the decision to go for it at all, because I knew that had I hit the buzzer, honestly, I would have just been wondering, I got up the wall, last season. Like, I wonder if I could have done it again. I would have been going home with, 10K. And honestly, there wasn't a reason for me not to go for it anymore, because, whether I missed it, I was still going to city finals. And, if I missed it or if I would have made it, I still wouldn't have been going to the tower. Mm. So it was kind of a wash. In my opinion, it was a wash. And there was just no reason not to go for it. And, I'm not happy when it comes to not challenging myself. I think had I been in that, if I would have been in that that realm of maybe having a chance at making the tower, then I probably would regret it. But because I didn't have a chance because of my time, it was just, why not? I'm still going to go to city finals anyway. So I don't regret it at all.
Are you surprised by how many people we've seen have that happen to them in their qualifying episode this season, that they've chosen Mega Wall and have not reached the buzzer because of that choice?
Not at all. I'm not surprised to see it at all, because I think people are conflicted. They don't know whether or not they want to go for speed or whether they want to go for $10,000. And, for me, I knew it was going to be one or the other. And I think there are a ton of athletes. I mean, we saw it with Kyle Soderman. He was fast to the wall, but then he didn't make it. So that was an opportunity at the tower that he missed out on, because he decided to go for cash over, safety. And I knew that was going to happen this year. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to be a factor. And, we're going to see that happen a lot, with city finals. We're going to see that happen even more. But I'm not surprised at all.
Right. I would still say it's a pretty strong start to your season. It's not like you eked into the city finals. Like, you were definitely qualifying to get yourself through.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty strong way to start off season 11 for you. Coming off of season 10, which I think is almost unanimously referred to as you had the most heartbreaking end for season 10. You had such a great – sorry, I'm gonna pour salt in your wound for a minute.
No, it's okay.
Here.
It's okay.
You had a fantastic season 10. You got the mega wall. You finished city finals as well.
My first time.
Made it all the way to stage 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you went out on the wing nuts on stage 2. You were one of only 3 competitors who made it all the way to the water walls.
Right.
And time ticked down as you were through the last gate, just staring down that buzzer.
Yeah.
That's got to leave you in a bit of a headspace after that's all said and done.
Yeah, it does. It's one of those things, because I don't think people – it's hard for people watching this show to really get an understanding of how hard some of us train for this. We put our entire life on hold just for an opportunity at changing our lives forever. And when something like that happens, it's just completely out of your control. It leaves you in a state of, well, was all of this sacrifice really worth it? Now I got to wait 365 more days, just to get another opportunity. Do I really want to put my life on hold? Do I really want to sacrifice, relationships and time and money, financial situations that some of us get into because of it? It's just, there's so much more that goes into the preparation for all of this that fans just don't realize. You can only see so much when following us on social media. You can only see so much when the show tells our story, but behind closed doors, we sacrifice a ton just for a chance. So when something like that happens, it leaves you — sometimes it can leave you very fulfilled, but in other instances, it can leave you feeling very empty too.
Mm-hmm. You told me in a conversation that we had off camera, to speak, that it sort of felt like when you were leaving your gymnastics career.
Yes.
What did you mean by that?
When leaving gymnastics, for me, I had to make that choice of, do I want to continue in something that's kind of causing me a lot of pain and a lot of disappointment and depression, or do I want to just find something else? Do I want to just put my time and energy into just rebuilding myself and seeing if there's something else out there for me. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know, with Ninja, I kind of had that for a moment. You know, I took 6 months off. And I don't think people really understand that. You know, I would pop in the gym just to say hi to my friends, but I did not train Ninja for 6 months. I needed that time to figure out, you know, where I was mentally and where my motivation was, because, you know, after I left, you know, stage two last season, I didn't really know who I was anymore. And I felt like I had let myself down. I felt like I had let, you know, my fans down. I felt like I had let just so many people down. And I wasn't sure if I wasn't sure why I was doing it anymore. And I wasn't sure if the depression that kind of came with it was really worth it to go through again. Mm-hmm. So with gymnastics, when I left it, just I was very confused and I was very lost. And I think that's where the familiarity kind of came in at. It was just a very lost, who am I kind of feeling and situation that I had put myself into. I was lost. And it's weird because, you know, arguably, statistically speaking, when you look at my season from season 10, that was probably my best season ever, even compared to season 9 when I made it to stage 3. You know, this was the most, season 10 was the most amount of money that I've ever made on the show. And on top of that, you know, I did two things that I had never done before. So arguably it was probably performance wise my best season, but mentally definitely one of my weakest seasons. And that was what I realized. And it was hard to kind of see myself revert back, you know, from the very start, even in qualifiers of season 10, it was hard to just slowly watch myself kind of lose who I was. I really kind of lost my place and lost my path in season 10. And I had to really take a step back and figure out what was going on.
When you say depression, first, it was interesting to hear you say that gymnastics was causing you depression. And that the end of season 10 brought up that depression again. What do you mean gymnastics was causing that depression? What is depression? How does that manifest for you?
I think depression, for me, that's such a loaded question, you know, because it can be so many different things. I think depression for me is you're in a room full of people and you just feel so alone and you just feel so closed off and just almost invisible in a way. And what I mean by that is I have a really good mask that I wear. I have a really good smile, and you know, I can look like the most cheery guy in the world, but inside I can just be dying sometimes. And that's kind of what I was going through in gymnastics. You know, so many times when I was going through my injury, and I wanted to be that gymnast that everyone knew me for. I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be that powerful athlete. I just wasn't able to do it because I had this injury, and I almost felt like half the person that people had, you know, come to be familiar with. And I wasn't able to be that guy anymore. And I just felt like such a failure. I felt like such a disappointment. And, you know, you get into a place where you're just paranoid that people might be like thinking this of you and they're thinking that of you. And it's just, there's a whole lot of just negative thoughts, and you're not able to look at the positives of the situation that you're in. You're not able to look at, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. It's just, this is where you're living and this is what you're feeling. And it's always going to be that, you know, it's never going to get any better. And I think for me, that's what depression means. It's if I'm not able to see the light at the tunnel, if I'm not able to see the positive in any situation that I'm in, if I'm in a room full of friends or I'm in a room full of people who, you know, are just cheery and energetic and they, you know, they're laughing and just having a good time, and I'm sitting there just waiting for it all to be over. That's what it means for me.
Remind me again, what was the time between the end of gymnastics and the start of Ninja Warrior for you?
Oh man, so I walked away completely from gymnastics, I believe. I stopped competing at 18 years old, mm-hmm. but I still continued to try and figure out, you know, do I want to do collegiate? Maybe I should take a year or two off and decide later on. But I just decided at 21, I was like, I'm just not going anywhere here. And I'm not happy. You know, this isn't who I am. This has brought out a lot of different just feelings and just emotions that, you know, I don't want to deal with anymore. And I walked away at that point, and I got started in Ninja about 2 years later, two, three years later. And it took a long time. It took a while for me to really rebuild the pieces that had been lost and had been broken down from gymnastics to being able to just be willing to put myself out there as an athlete again and be willing to, you know, possibly one day go through this again, you know, with right. with being at the top level of whatever sport you put yourself in and having to deal with a loss, having to deal with a failure. And, you know, it's weird because I tried my best to, that was the whole point of the Phoenix, you know, that was the whole point of why I took this mantra on, because I saw what happened to me in gymnastics and I didn't think I'd ever be able to come back from that. And then Ninja happened and I said, you know what, like, you don't have to let what circumstances you go through just define, you know, who you are. You can always get back up. You know, you make the decision to get back up. So for me, that was the transition from gymnastics to Ninja. You know, it was about a two and a half year time frame, but it was 2.5 years of trying to pick myself back up to that point.
Right. Can you remember any points in that process of taking yourself from gymnastics to Ninja and those moments where you started to pull yourself forward and tell yourself, like, it's worth it to keep going, it's worth it to try this again and take this risk?
Yeah, I think it was probably my very first season, season 7. Mm-hmm. You know, I had gotten on the course. Well, I had submitted for the show. For those who don't know, I got into the Ninja Warrior because I saw one of my old teammates, Dan Galazinski, who is a gym owner in Pennsylvania of the Gravity Forge. And, you know, he had popped up on my TV screen one day, and I was just like, you know, like, wait, like, who's, like, what? Like, that's my old teammate in gymnastics. Like, what is he doing on TV? I reached out to him on Facebook and just was like, hey, like, dude, this is awesome. You're like, you know, I didn't know you were on TV, but it looks really cool what you're doing. And then, you know, slowly started watching the show a little bit more after that. I, you know, saw Chris Wilczewski and I saw Drew Dreschel and I was just like entranced, Flip Rodriguez. And I was like, who are these? These guys are like legitimate, you know, real life superheroes, you know? This is so cool. Like, I feel like I can do that, you know? So Dan, at the time, he was building his gym in Hatboro, PA, and he was like, hey, man, like, I don't have that many obstacles up. I got a warp wall and a salmon ladder, though, if you want to come check it out. And I said, yeah, sure, like, why not? So, you know, I went down there and tried it and, you know, failed right away. Could not get a single rung on the salmon ladder at all. Slipped, ran, you know, straight into the warp wall. Couldn't do any of it. But it was like, this is a cool challenge. Like, you know, it's in my ability to do this, and I want to learn it. So started going to the gym like once every other week, just, you know, one day out of, you know, the week. And just, he had convinced me, you know, to put in a submission video. So I did, not thinking anything would come of it, because why would I get picked for a TV show, you know? But then I did, I got the call, and I was like, all right, well, yeah, let's do this. Like, you know, I'm a former elite level athlete. Like, I got this in the bag, you know? So went out there and I did not have it in the bag. I did not at all. You know, I tripped up on the quad steps at the time, or the quintuple steps at the time. And then we had the falling log that year, I believe, in Pittsburgh. And I held on to it, but then I held on to it too long and it almost pulled me back into the water. It was the sloppiest run ever. And then I went out on snake crossing, you know, just did not understand balance whatsoever. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, this is not a good representation of, like, the athlete that I am. So that kind of sparked a fire in me. And that was when I realized, like, hang on a second. You just said that's not a representation of the athlete that you are. Like, it's still in there. Like, that guy's still there. And when I felt that, I was like, you know what? This is worth it. Like, I miss this feeling. I miss this frustration of not being able to show people what I'm capable of. I miss that, not even so much spotlight, but I just miss being able to put on display the gifts that God has given me. Right. And yeah, that was the moment where I was like, you know what, like, it's time. It's time to get back up.
It's so interesting to hear you say that something that could be considered a failure,
yeah,
is what helped pull you out of a depression.
Yes. Yeah.
So that says a lot about what feeds into you, yeah, as an athlete.
And that's kind of the mantra of Fly Phoenix Fly. You know, it's like, use failure as a motivation, you know, use it. Sometimes it's a little bit harder than others, but, you know, whenever you can, use that failure as motivation to keep going.
Okay. So you get into your Ninja career, up and running. It's going great. Mm-hmm. Season 10 happens. You do not have 2 years between season 10 and this year.
Yeah.
What did that process to pull yourself back look like this time?
I'm still not there yet.
Okay.
Admittedly. It's one of those things I'm still processing, and I'm processing it in a different way. You know, that was the thing with gymnastics when I entered my depression. That's not something that you can just up and get over. You know, right. It takes a while. It takes a lot of rebuilding. It takes a lot of self-discovery. It takes a lot of mistakes. It takes a lot of trial and error. And, you know, I'm going through that right now. And there are things that, you know, I'm still trying to figure out. And, you know, going from season 10 to going to, you know, right now, I'm not all there. And I'm struggling with that, but I'm making an effort. And I'm trying to get back up. And I think for me, that's all I can do. And I want that to be on display for people. You know, you never know what someone's going through. You know, you might be going through something. But as long as you're making an effort, like, that's what counts the most, I think. I think that's what, you know, creates just champions. You know, it's you can be down, but you make that decision to get back up if you want to. You know, you can either just stay there and just, you know, wait for someone to help you get up, or wait for you to just magically get back on your feet, or you can just struggle and push and fight to find your way back to the top. And that's kind of like what I'm trying to tell myself internally, like, hey man, like, yeah, you're down right now, you know, you're not quite at that point where you want to be, but you just got to keep trying to get back up, man. You got to keep making little moves to find your place again.
I imagine you had fans in gymnastics, mm-hmm. but I don't think it was quite at the level of fandom that Ninja Warrior brings you. Does that add another layer Absolutely. Of what you have to process?
Yes, 100%. I think it's hard, because I think when you're on a platform like this, it's so easy for the fans to forget that you are human. Mm-hmm. Even your peers, you know, there are times where people kind of look at me as a sort of superhero, which I take that on. And I love that, because that's what I want to be. But at the end of the day, we're human. And I think it gets to a point where even us, like, we forget that. And when something like what happened for me in season 10, when you prove that you're a human being, when you prove that you're not this superhero who's perfect all the time, you can lose a little bit of your identity, and you can, you know, maybe even whether it's true or not, lose a little bit of that admiration and at least in your mind, respect and just, you know, status that has been built up with, you know, your image to the people who are looking up to you, whether it's your peers or your fans or whoever that is. It's hard when you're looked at as more than human sometimes, that then when you prove that you are human, it's like, oh, okay, well, who is that guy really? You know, it's hard. Yeah, it's a hard one to process. You know, it's tough.
How do you even process that, since the opinions of fans, it's obviously something that means a lot to all the competitors on this show.
Yeah.
But it's not like, it's not a tangible thing. There's not a collective, you know, fan group you can walk up to and be like, do you guys still feel the same way about
me? Exactly.
And it's not something you can put out of your mind with that kind of simple solution. So how do you deal with that?
I think you just have to, at least for me, I understand it's one of those things where, you know, people are going to have, like you said, people are going to have their opinions. There's going to be a picture that's painted because of whatever it is that you're going through, or whatever that it is that, you know, has come out, or whatever that is. Like, there's going to be a picture painted, and people are going to have their opinions, and people are going to have their thoughts, and, you know, they're going to make decisions based off whatever information they've been given or whatever information they have right then and there. And you have to realize that that's going to happen. You have to kind of accept that that's the case, and you can't let that consume you. You know, you have to understand that, hey, like, this is part of the game. This is part of, you know, the environment that you put yourself in. I think the most important thing for me, how I process it, is how I look at myself and how I cherish my true relationships with my closest friends and family members. And for me, that's what's gotten me through. You know, my closest friends in this community are Chris Wilcheski and Michelle Warnke, you know, Mike Bernardo, Jamie Ron, and, you know, those you know, those guys, they've been my rock this year. You know, they have seen a side of me that I don't think many people will ever see of me, but they've been my rocks, honestly. And you know, you see them on the sideline when I'm running the course, and they just have been there. You know, Clint Sarion, I'm not sure if I mentioned him, but you know, just in case I didn't, I wanted to also mention him. They've been my rocks this season, big time.
What are some of the things that they've said or done that have really stuck out in your mind and helped you?
I think, man, there's so many. There's so many, but it's the fact that they just know I'm a human. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't see the phoenix. You know, they don't see this amazing athlete. They don't see this guy who is, you know, he's not capable of ever doing anything wrong. They see a human being who is going through something right now, and he's just trying to find his way through it, you know. And I think for me, that's like the main thing. It's just having those conversations with them and having that connection with them, where it's like, hey man, like, look, like, you're this happens, you know. This is you're not alone in this. You're not the only person that feels this way. You're not the only person who has gone through this. You know, you're not the only person who has these thoughts and these feelings. Like, it's common. It happens. You're a human being, but that doesn't make you any less than what you are. You know, it just means that you're in a place in your life that you're just trying to figure out. And sometimes you need that. You know, sometimes you need those friends who are able to see the real you to your core, and not just, again, the information that's being given.
Right. Something else you've mentioned to me, just between us, it's okay that I share this though, don't worry, everyone. You were talking about the importance of taking accountability for your mental health.
Absolutely.
That's a huge topic.
Yeah.
Can you speak to what that personally means to you? What does taking accountability for your mental health mean?
I think it just means like admitting, like, listen, there are for a lot of people, whether it's things they've gone through in their life, you know, whether it's something they're going through currently that they just don't understand how to navigate through, there's a reason for every action and you know, every action and just way of thinking or you know, decision that you make, there's a reason for it all. And sometimes that's not going to be so clear cut to people. And sometimes that's not going to be so, you know, cut and dry. And there's going to be twists and turns and a maze of the reasons that you did the things that you did, or the reasons you feel the way that you feel, that people just aren't going to understand or be able to accept. And I think that's where the mental accountability comes in at. You know, sometimes you just go through things, and it might just be because you're going through something, you know, up top here that just you're not able to understand. And you might be having these feelings, and you might be having these, you know, in my case, like depressions, and the way that I dealt with it and things like that, that it just doesn't really make sense. And it causes you to, you know, make bad choices or go down a path that you would not normally go down in your right state of mind. It's taking accountability that there's a connection not being made up here. And sometimes you have to just, you know, accept that that's what's going on, and you can't make excuses for it. You just have to say, hey, like, look, this is just the place I'm in. I'm lost right now. I'm making these choices. I'm making these decisions. I'm feeling this way. And there's no excuse for it. It's just kind of where I'm at in my life right now. And, you know, maybe I need to talk to someone, or, you know, maybe I need to be a little bit more open about it so I can, you know, get help or have help, or just, you know, be understood a little bit better. It's just taking that accountability, you know, not trying to find a reason, you know, why you are the way you are, just kind of accepting it and just being at peace with it and trying your best to navigate the best way that you can through it. You know, whichever way that means, you know, getting help or talking to your friends or, you know, opening up to people, just whatever it is, just kind of like taking accountability for the fact that you just, there's something up top that's just not quite connecting. And that's for me, that's what that means for me.
So you took 6 months off after season 10.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're still in the journey right now.
Yeah.
Was there ever a thought that you needed more time, that maybe this wasn't
Absolutely.
The season?
I don't know if the fans know this. I may have shared it on social media. I'm not sure, but I almost didn't apply this season. Mm. You know, our submission videos were due in January, and I believe I got mine in with just a couple of seconds to spare. I think. but I almost did not apply this season, And, you know, I'm still, you know, I it's hard because I'm not in the place mentally where I would want to be when competing. And I didn't want it to look like I was running away. I didn't want it to look like I was giving up, because that's not what I'm doing, and that's not the message that I want to send. So I thought, you know what, like, no, we have to go back. We have to at least try again. We have to put that effort in again. There was definitely a moment where the Phoenix did not, almost, he almost didn't return this year. Yeah.
Well, that would have been devastating. Everything that we know now puts your Baltimore qualifiers run into a different light. Yeah. So tell us, now that you've shared, how you were feeling before that run.
You know, I try my best to be in the moment, but I wasn't. You know, they're just, I'm, like I said, I'm still on this journey to rebuilding. I'm still on this journey to figuring things out. I'm still on this journey to trying my best to just cope with the things that are going on in my life currently, and my mental state and the choices that I'm making and the place that I'm at right now. You know, long story short, I'm okay with admitting I'm lost right now, and I'm not in the best place. And when I was in Baltimore, it's really hard to get yourself out of that and be present and be in the moment. But you gotta try your best to compartmentalize all of that stuff, and you gotta try your best to just, you know, put it way down, you know, down here. And, you know, when this Phoenix goes on my chest, I have to morph into that superhero. I have to morph into that person that is trying to put a message out there that people can relate to, and people can kind of say, hey, like, I, you know, thank you, you know, things like that. I want people to know that they're not alone, and that's why I'm out there. You know, this season is very different for me, because I feel like every season has been about total victory. Every season for me has been about just proving what I'm capable of doing, and this season it's not about that. This season is just, I want to be a message of, hey, I'm going through some really dark and troubling times right now, but I'm still here. I'm still fighting to get back to the top. And that's the message for me, that is, I want to get out there this season.
I think that's an important message too, that you are a human and you're on this journey, and that it's not a straight line. There's loop-de-loops and stop-offs along the way. Obviously, it didn't distract you too much from getting through the course pretty much all the way. And you're headed to City Finals next. How are you feeling about that?
You know, I'm grateful. I'm super grateful. Every opportunity I get here on American Ninja Warrior, I'm so grateful. There's so many people who want to be here. There's so many people who are capable of being here, and they haven't gotten that opportunity yet. And it's just, I think about that all. But another reason why I'm here, you know, I think about that all the time, and I'm just grateful. I'm so incredibly grateful, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to put the Phoenix back on the chest, and I'm going to give it my best shot. I really am. I can't say how it's going to go, and I can't, you know, predict, you know, what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, when I step up on that platform, I'm just gonna give it my best shot. I think that at this moment, that's all I can do. You know, I've trained, you know, physically, I am as prepared as I'm gonna get right now. And I can't even look back at my training and say I should have done that differently, because I really put in a lot of training since probably February. Physically, I feel great. It's just about whether or not I'm gonna be able to have my head, you know, in the moment to be able to do what I'm capable of doing.
Thank you so much for sharing with us today. And yeah, I'm going to speak for the collective fans for a second and say, don't worry about us. We're fine. We love you. You do what you've got to do.
I appreciate that.
We'll still be here to support you no matter what.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
The American Ninja Warrior podcast will be back next week to talk with Ninja Warrior Michelle Warnke about her dramatic run at the Cincinnati qualifiers. You'll have to watch the episode to figure out what I mean by that. Talk to you soon.
And history has been made! Shut the front door! She's down to her final shot here! Can you